was doing the garden last Tuesday, digging up all the weeds, quite a plague, when a phone call for me from the old BBC was made by producer Mike Craig. He said, "How do you fancy a monologue?" I said, "Spoke by the mouth and in rhyme." He said, "Marriott Edgar. He writes the best. You can even do two if there's time." Well, of course, I was highly delighted. I abandoned the weeds and the hoe, for a Marriott Edgar monologue is one where the words really flow. So, here I am, ready and waiting, with a monologue for you to appraise. It was written with craftsmanship second to none, and you don't see that much nowadays. The microphone's ready, the script's in my hand. Oh, a little red light I can see. Is it the start of the broadcast, or has someone come in with the tea? I think that it's time to get cracking, so I'll give the start switch a shove. It's a Marriott Edgar monologue, constructed with humour and love.
We present Marriott's Monologues, the monologues of Marriott Edgar. Accompanied on the piano by Brian Fitzgerald, here is this week's monologist, Peter Goodright, with Runcorn Ferry.
On the banks of the Mersey, on Cheshire side, lies Runcorn that's best known to fame. Bit transport of bridges takes folks over its stream, or else brings them back across same. In days before transport of bridge were put up, a ferry boat lay in the slip, and old Ted the boatman had row folk across at twopence per person per trip. Runcorn lay over on one side of the stream, and Widnes on t'other side stood. And as nobody wanted go nigh the place, well, trade wasn't none too good. One evening, to Ted's superlative surprise, three customers come into view. A Mr. and Mrs. Ransbottom it were, and Albert, their little son, too. A grand little lad, the young Albert, all dressed in his best, quite as swell, with his stick, with his horse's head handle, the finest that Woolworths could sell. "How much for the three?" Mr. Ransbottom asked, and his hand to his pocket did dip. Ted said, "Same for three as it would be for one, per twopence, per person, per trip."
"Hey, you're not charging twopence for that little lad," said Mother, her eyes flashing wild.
"Per twopence, per person, per trip," answered Ted. "Per woman, per man, or per child."
"Fivepence for three. That's more, says I'll pay," said Father. "Don't waste time in talk."
"Per twopence, per person, per trip," answered Ted. "And them as can't pay has to walk."
"We can walk and all," said Father. "Come, Mother, it's none so deep and weather's quite mild." So into the water the three of them stepped, the father, the mother, the child. The further they paddled, the deeper it got, but they won't give in once begun. In spirit that's made Lancashire what it is, they'd sooner be drowned than done. Very soon the old people were up to the necks, and little lad clean out of sight. Said Father, "Where's Albert?" And Mother replied, "I've got hold his hand, he's all right." It was just at that moment Pa got an idea, and floundering back to old Ted, he said, "We've walked half that way, we'll row us t'other half, say for penny a head." But Ted won't stand it for none of that there, and making an obstinate lip,
"Per twopence, per person, per trip," answered Ted. per trip or per part of per trip.
All right, then, said Father, let me take the boat, and I'll pick up the others halfway, and I'll row them across, and I'll bring the boat back, and threepence in bargain I'll pay. It were money for nothing, Ted answered, righto, and Father got hold of the sculls, and with sharp end at boat towards middle at stream, we were there in a couple of pulls. He got Mother out, it were rather a job. With water she weighed half a ton. Then, pushing the oar down the side of the boat, he started fishing around for his son. He, when poor little Albert come up to the top, his collar was soggy and limp. And with holding his breath at the bottom so long, his face were as red as his shrimp. Pa took him across and he brought the boat back and he said to old Ted on the slip, "Will row me across be Miss N?" Ted said, "Aye,
at twopence per person per trip."
When they got to the side, Father laughed fit to bust. He'd got best at bargain, you see. He'd worked it all out and he'd got his own way and he'd paid not but 5 3.
That was, of course, Runcorn Ferry. And it's amazing to me that it's just as funny now, to me, and I hope to you, as it was when it was written in 1933, which was just a year after Albert made his first appearance and disappearance in Blackpool. And I especially like that one. That is my very favourite, because I very first heard it when I was 10. My parents took me to a concert in Margate, and whilst I have no doubt it was a very good show, a very good programme of music and songs and the like, it was a bit dreary for a 10-year-old. And suddenly, a man on the programme did this monologue, and I was riveted. I can't remember who spoke it, but it was jolly good. And I didn't like just the story, but what fascinated me was the way all the words fitted together so beautifully, and the music of the rhyming added to the fun. And I loved it, and from then on, I've been a fan. But that is my very favourite, the very first one I ever heard. Of course, I had to know who wrote it and what it was all about. When you're really interested in something, you find out, don't you? And Marriott Edgar was a quiet man with a droll sense of humour who worked as a performer during the 20s and the 30s in pantomime and in concert parties. And good though he probably was as a performer, Marriott Edgar's monologues, they're the ones which everyone associates with him. And it's funny, really, because it's not his name that's best remembered. It's the Albert and Mr. and Mrs. Rumbottom. They're the ones that are remembered. Sad, isn't it? But if the bad news is that no one really remembers Marriott Edgar's name, the good news is that these wonderful monologues are still very much with us. And due, it must be said, to the late, great Stanley Holloway's superb delivery of them. Marriott Edgar, or his real name was George Edgar, wrote this wealth of wonderful rhyming fun. And here's a great example. This is called The Jubilee Sovereign, and it concerns, guess who? The Rumbottoms.
On Jubilee Day, the Rumbottoms asked all their relations to tea, including young Albert's grandmother. An awkward old party was she. She'd seen Queen Victoria's Jubilee and her wedding to Albert the Good, and got quite upset when young Albert asked how she'd got on in the flood. She cast quite a damper on party, but cheered up a bit after tea and gave Albert a real golden sovereign she'd saved since the last Jubilee. It had a picture of Queen on one side and a dragon fight on the reverse. It tasted of camphor and cobwebs through being so long in her purse. Albert cuddled the coin and he kissed it. He felt the rough edge with his tongue, for he knew by the look on his father that it wouldn't be his very long. "Shall I get you your money box, Albert?" said Mother, so coaxing and sweet. And Albert let drop an expression he must have picked up in the street. "I'll show you a trick with that sovereign," said Pa, who were hovering near. And he took and pretended to eat it and brought it back out of his ear. This magic filled Albert with wonder, and before you could say Uncle Dick, he'd got the coin back from his father and performed the first part of the trick. When they saw us, he'd swallowed his sovereign. With excitement, his relatives burned, and each one suggested some process for getting the money returned. Some were for fishing with tweezers, and some were for shaking it out. If they only got back a few shillings, they said it'd be better than nought. They tried holding Albert head downwards and giving his back a good thump. Then his uncle, who worked for a chemist, said there's nought for it but a stomach pump. They haven't a stomach pump handy, but Pa did the best as he could with the bicycle pump as he'd borrowed, but that weren't a ha'porth of good. At the finish, they sent for the doctor, who looked down his throat through a glass. He said, "Aye, this'll mean operation. I'm afraid as he'll have to have gas."
"Much is this here going to cost us?"
said Father, beginning to squirm. Said the doctor, "It comes quite expensive. The gas'll be 8 pence a therm." "Then there's my time, 4 shillings an hour. You can't do these things in 2 ticks. Be right, I should charge you a guinea, but I'll do it for 18 and 6. "What, 18 and 6 to get sovereign?" said Father. "That doesn't sound sense. I tell you what, you'd best keep Albert and give me the odd 18 pence. The doctor concurred this arrangement, and to this day remains in some doubt as to whether it is in 18 shillings or whether it is 18 pence out.
Peter Goodright brought you Runcorn Ferry and the Jubilee Sovereign by Marriott Edgar. Piano accompaniment was by Brian Fitzgerald. Marriott's Monologues is produced in Manchester by Mike Craig.